You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. This is Peter DePalma, joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us for the first time live from Maryville, Tennessee. I'm so used to saying live from Italy. It'll be Italy also on some occasions, but today for the first time, thanks be to God, Mother and the sisters are in Maryville, Tennessee. Actually, they're only about 10 hours away from Radio Maria. So we're going to begin as we always do with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Mother, what a momentous, I mean, we're seeing the miracle of God. Well, we see it every day, but what a miracle. You're now coming to us live from Maryville. And again, you can't make this up. God even chose the name of the town for you, Maryville, Tennessee. Can you give us a little, just a little bit of how you're feeling? What's your early experience has been? Again, I'm curious. I'm sure the listeners are curious as well. Welcome, Mother.
Well, thank you for the welcome, and we're glad to be able to connect with everyone here in Tennessee. Yeah, it is a miracle how God has chosen this time in history for the divine will to come about, and that we can reach each other across the ocean and everywhere throughout the world, you know. And yesterday I talked to a group in Korea on Zoom, and another group in Colombia on Zoom. So you know how we can reach all over the world through internet. What a grace. So although there's some evil things to look at on internet, there's a lot of good things too. And so we have to really take advantage of those wonderful good things that you can partake of on internet. So yeah, we're glad to be here, and we're adjusting fine to coming back to the States. We're happy to be here. At first it was a little difficult because we were traveling 40 minutes away from Mass every day, and we were missing a lot of time that we usually spend in adoration. So now, the last 2 days, we went to Mass in a church nearby, and we're able to take our adoration hours and do our spiritual reading like we did before, reading the Divine Will. And so we're feeling more of that monastic spirit that we had left behind when we traveled to the States and trying to get settled here. So our prayer life is what makes it happen, you know, our prayer life, our reading the Divine Will, trying to live it. So we get discombobulated when we leave that, especially if you've been living a monastic life. It's very difficult when you leave that, and you feel like a fish out of water, you know. And now we're feeling like we're back in the ocean of divine will, and able to really get back into the monastic life that we were living before in Italy. We miss the sisters, and they miss us. But you know, we're together we have one mind, one heart, and one spirit. And so we're together in our hearts and souls.
I'm sorry, continue, Mother.
I was just saying there's no distance between tabernacles. We're all with Jesus,
right,
and we're grateful to have our Lord with us here, you know, and to be able to spend much time in adoration. The church nearby has adoration all day long. I don't know if they have it at night, but I know throughout the day the Blessed Sacrament is exposed there. So that's a nice thing, you know. There's more adoration churches here in America than there are in Italy. So we're grateful to be back for that reason also. And the American people are wonderful. You know, they in Italy, the people are very friendly, but they like to stop and talk. And so you lose a lot of time. But here, the Americans are very nice and friendly, but they let you go your way, you know. And that's good because we can get back to our life of prayer at the house here. So we appreciate that. So yeah, everybody's doing good. I think you're all happy to be here, yeah. And we're happy to be able to speak and think in our own language. That's another thing. And getting used to being back into the fast and American culture. Italy is very slow, you know. So we have to get used to that. And driving is a little different here, you know. So the highways are better, the cars are bigger. We're just getting used to all these differences, you know. That we were in Italy for some years, and it took a while to get used to the Italian culture, and after we got used to it, we liked it. Now we're getting used to American culture, which is easier for us to get used to since we were born and raised here, most of us. Some of them, one Korea, one Philippines, one Mexico, but you know, the rest of us, well, just sister Jacinta and I were born and raised here. The other sisters were born and raised in other countries, but you know, they are American in their hearts and spirits because they lived here for a while before they went to Italy. So that's pretty much a rundown of the situation here with us.
Good. So, and where you are right now, Mother, also just to let the audience know that it's temporary housing where you are right now as your monastery is being built.
Right.
Actually, there's even another transient living quarter you're going to have before the monastery. So again, this is not the final destination. That's why perhaps the audio and the well, not video or radio, the audio may not be as clear as it was in Italy. Now, think about that. But we do have some new equipment on the way, even more robust than we had in Italy. So I think that's all going to take its traction over the next couple weeks.
Is this mic I'm using now clear?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's very good, Mother. It is. It's very good.
Well, we have to paint tomorrow and maybe this afternoon of the new place that we'll be going into, which is a garage building that's been extended to put five sisters up. And actually, we have three extra bedrooms that we could put more sisters. I have two of them coming to discern soon, two of the young women. So, you know, we hope that they have vocations. They seem like the very possibly that they do. We've been talking with them on internet, you know. So anyway, we have this temporary building that we'll be in for some months until the monastery is built. So pray that that can happen soon. We're going to look for benefactors to help us with that. So pray for that too. We're doing the 10 memoraris every day. Mother Teresa's memorari novena was one memorari in Thanksgiving and nine in petition. So if y'all want to join us in that for good benefactors to help build a monastery, and also that the monastery will be built quickly up on Little Mountain in Maryville.
If you build it, they will come. It's a phrase that I've really, God has proven to be very, very accurate. Well, thank you, Mother, for that. And you know, what a blessing too, on the first day that you're joining us from Maryville, this happens to be the dedication of St. John Lateran, the church, the Basilica, celebrated by the entire church. And again, I was not that familiar, shamefully. This was the dedication was done in Rome by Pope Sylvester in 324. What's really interesting, some fun facts about St. John Lateran. St. John Lateran is the entrance to the Scala Santa, which translates to holy steps. And according to legend, these 28 marble steps were the stairs wherein Jesus climbed to Pontius Pilate's office during his trial. And these stairs were supposedly brought to Rome by Saint Helena, the mother of Constantine. So it's there. I mean, the history, you know, God has a way of moving things around. Again, he's moved you around, Mother, and he's got you exactly where he wants you to. And we're just so, so grateful. And again, the divine will, you're back to it. You're almost back to it. It's going to be a little transition because of the, perhaps of the scheduling like you had. But like you said, it's not going to take more. And I think the beautiful thing about also what you're experiencing as having this before, I believe you're even going to appreciate it more now because you didn't have it for a while. I mean, we all take it for granted, like, for example, cars, transportation, you know, adequate roads, all these things. But I think it's a little bit of an awakening that, you know, we have to be grateful. Again, remember, Jesus tells us through Louisa that ingratitude was his greatest pain in his humanity. Nobody said thank you. I mean, think of the lepers. 10 were healed. One came back. Where are the other nine? I mean, very few people said thank you. And I think we can do that now. We can step in the breach for those who did not say it, who could not say it, or didn't want to say it, or didn't know to say it.
Yeah, we must be grateful for everything God gives us, all the gifts. We forget that everything is gift. Every breath of air we breathe is gift. Every heartbeat of our hearts is gift. Do we ever put our I love you. I thank you. I adore you. I praise you, Jesus. You know, throughout the day, we can be thanking him and praising him for everything that he gives us. He's so kind to us. He's so loving, you know, so we want to be people of gratitude, you know, and thank him with his own gratitude. And that's in divine will. Say, Jesus, come be grateful in me. I want to thank you with your own thank you, with your own gratitude, and ask Our Lady to do it also. I was just reading here in volume one. He says, the harder the trials to which I will submit you, the greater the graces I will give you. Courage then, courage, and I will come back soon. And in saying this, he seemed to bless me, and then he left. He says, goes on further, says, don't you know that I am Spirit of Peace? And the first thing I recommend is that you do not disturb the peace of your heart. When in prayer, you are not able to recollect yourself, I do not want you to think of this or that, or how it is or how it is not. Because in doing so, you yourself call the distraction. And when we first came here, it was hard to pray because we had been so distracted in traveling and packing before we came, getting ready to come. Losing a few things along the way, you know, so we were distracted. And the Lord was teaching us to be detached, how he allows things in our lives. He allows you to lose things. Things happen that things are taken out of your life. We had to leave the sisters. We had to leave our house that we were so used to. And all of those things were things that God wanted us to be detached from. He wants us to be attracted and attached only to him. And so we had to get back into our prayer life so that we could stop being so distracted by all of the things happening around us, a new environment. We're creatures of habit. We like to stay in the same little environment. When I left Mother Angelica and I was in the cloister for 33 years, I had culture shock. And I got used to the noise, used to the crowds, used to the people in Rome. I was studying at the Angelicum in Rome for a while when I first left. And I got used to it and I began to like it. So, you know, we just really get used to our environment, and we're okay with that when we get used to it because we are creatures of habit. So now we're getting used to this little wedding venue that we're staying in for a few days, and then we'll go to a new place and we'll get used to that, you know. It's just like when you breathe the divine will at the same hour every day in the same place, it's easy to do because we're creatures of habit. If you go to adoration at the same hour all the time, if you go to Mass every day, you look forward to that because we are creatures of habit. You have to develop those good habits in your life so that you can grow in holiness. Our Lady Medjugorje says, pray the rosary. She asks for 15 decade rosary a day. If you do that, you get in a habit of it and you look forward to it. She asks us to read the scriptures every day. She asks us to go to adoration, to go to confession once a month. If you start doing those practices, having those practices in your life, you find it easy. You know, it's just like dieting. If you want to stop eating sweets because you have a problem with blood sugar or something, you get in a habit and then it's easier to do without, you know. So we are creatures of habit and we have to develop those good habits, spiritual habits in our lives.
And Mother, what is the sense of humor really quickly that God allows you to be in a wedding banquet venue, again, bringing you closer to that spiritual marriage that we all want to enjoy. I mean, he's so playful with us. He really is.
Well, we arrived here, too, that next day. We sat 7 deer in our yard, and that was a good sign. Sisters looked on the Internet and found what was the symbolism behind the deer.
God is taking care of his children.
God is taking care of his children. That's what that means. And then when we opened the door, it was full of ladybugs. Mm-hmm. And then the man who took us here said that was symbolic of something else. A blessing from God. So that we felt that God was greeting us to this temporary housing that we're in right now.
The kittens, Mother, 5 kittens that just came out from
darkness. Oh, and then Father Elijah has a cat, a mother cat that had 5 kittens under their house. And the kittens finally came out the day we arrived. And there are 5 sisters here. So he says each sister can have a kitten.
The first egg of the chickens.
And the chickens laid their first egg for the month.
Really?
We arrived.
They had 7 chickens.
Wow.
First egg came up.
Yeah. So anyway, God shows us through his nature, greeting us, you know. It goes on to say in this volume one, instead, when you find yourself in that state, the first thing to do is to humble yourself, confessing that you deserve those pains and placing yourself in the arms of the executioner like a humble little lamb that licks his hand while he kills it. The same for you, while seeing yourself beaten, disheartened and alone, You will resign yourself to my holy dispositions. You will thank me with all your heart. You will kiss my hand that strikes you, recognizing yourself unworthy of those pains. Then you will offer to me that bitterness, anguish, and tedium, praying me to accept them as a sacrifice of praise, of satisfaction for your sins, and of reparation for the offenses that they give me. If you do so, your prayer will ascend before my throne as most fragrant incense. It will wound my heart, and you will draw great new graces and new charisms upon you. In seeing you humble and resigned, all plunged into your nothingness, the devil will not have the power to get close. And here is how, where you thought you were losing, you will make great gains. So all right now we see things happening in the world, people suffering, people being chastised in many ways, but those are gifts from God. They don't look like gifts because you hate to see people suffering, but God brings a great, he loves us so much. He brings a greater good out of everything that we endure, everything we have to suffer. And so, you know, a surgery is difficult. A surgery is painful. But when a doctor cuts you open to fix you, in the long run, you'd be better off in the end, hopefully, you know. So we have to suffer in order to get better. We have to die to ourselves in order to have that great joy and peace of realizing our nothingness. How do we die to ourselves? But through the cross. Through not having, look what our Lord did with Louisa. She couldn't eat, sleep, or drink for 64 years. He detached her from everything. And so he wants to detach us from things. And he took us out of our own country. He says, you know, if you want to be my follower, you must be willing to leave mother, father, brother, sister, country, culture, language, everything. We did. We gave our fiat. We went to Italy. That was hard. Now he says, you can come back to America. And I give it all back to you. So now we all have coming back to us everything that we left. So, you know, God is never outdone in generosity. You give him your heart, he'll give you much more in return. So I encourage you to realize that the cross is the greatest gift. Jump for joy when you're persecuted, when things go wrong in your life. Our Lord suffered much more than we will ever suffer. He suffered greater persecutions. He suffered people being really ridiculing him, putting him down. And yet, you know, he accepted it all. And he was grateful for the cross. And he was sinless. He didn't deserve anything that he got. We deserve much more than we get. So we have to be grateful to God that we don't get worse crosses than what we get, because we deserve much more. So don't ever get angry at the people who are allowing you to be chastised in any way. God is going to use that cross that you have to having to endure through others in a greater way for you to grow in holiness, for you to die to yourself, for you to get a higher place in heaven for all eternity. So you have to be grateful for those who hurt you in any way and realize the great gift that God's given you through the cross.
There's more grace placed in the cross, Jesus says, than in the sacraments. That's how great he wants us to endure. And, you know, he explains about the general madness, Mother, that's what's taking place. He says this general confusion is just because the every 2,000 years there's an upheaval, and he's ushering in the kingdom of the divine will. So everything is scrambling. All the bad is scrambling, as you see. They're all trying to compete against each other. Who could be more evil, if that's possible? But he also says that evil will exhaust itself, because if you think about that, I mean, evil has to have a limit. I mean, if someone wants to kill me, I mean, a certain way they can do it. They can destroy my body. But there's a limit. There's no limit to God. So he says, let evil exhaust itself. It's just a natural occurrence, because the kingdom is coming, and not everybody wants this kingdom to come, as we can tell.
Jesus had to be crucified in order to rise again. The church and the world has to be crucified before it rises again.
Right. Hello, Sister Gloria.
Hi, Pa. Peter, before, when you were mentioning about the holy steps in Rome, I just remember those times when we visited in Rome and climbed that steps in kneeling position. And right now,
I want to say something else I meant to say earlier about St. John Lateran. This morning we went to Mass and the priest gave a beautiful homily about it. And I didn't realize that, I forget what century it was when St. Catherine of Siena, was it 1200? St. Catherine of Siena, you know, when the Pope had moved to Avignon, France, And she said, you know, he had to get back to Rome. When he came back to Rome, John Lateran was destroyed. And so that's when he went to St. Peter's. St. Peter's Basilica became the seat of the church at that time. Now, the parish church of the Pope is St. John Lateran still.
Yeah, yeah.
He lives at St. Peter's in the Vatican.
That's interesting. And also the church also I saw founded under the auspice of St. John the Baptist and St. John of the Cross. I didn't know that either, you know, through the influence and through the motivation. Wow. But you're right. That in essence, that is the Pope's home parish, but he resides in Rome and frequents probably St. Peter more than anything else. Hello again, Sister Gloria.
Hi. Yeah, so back to the Holy Steps in Rome. And I remember this time when we visited there. And right now in the Divine Will, we can, you know, climb that steps again with all the souls from the past, present, and future. And as we go up one step to another step, we can put our love yous and I thank you on each step in reparation for all our sins. And today I was reading this volume from volume 6, October 24, 1905. It talks about the miseries of the human nature, how it serves to reorder in it the order of all virtues. While considering my misery, the weakness of human nature, I felt I was an object so very abominable to myself, and I imagine how much more abominable I am before God. And I said to myself, Lord, how ugly the human nature has become. Now coming for just a little, he told me, nothing has come out of my hands, which is not good. On the contrary, I created the human nature beautiful and striking. And if the soul sees it as muddy, rotten, weak, and abominable, this serves the human nature like manure serves the earth, such that one does not understand what is it for, would say, this one is crazy, for he smears the earth with this filth, while one who understands knows that the filth serves to fecundate the earth, to make the plants grow, and to render the fruits more beautiful and tasty. So I created the human nature with these miseries to reorder in it the order of all virtues. Otherwise, it would remain without the exercise of true virtues. Then I saw in my mind the human nature as though full of holes, and in these holes there was rot and mud, and from within them came out branches loaded with flowers and fruits. So I comprehended that everything is in the use we make, even of the very miseries. Yes, we all have idiosyncrasies, you know, these attributes that are distinctive and like very peculiar to the person. And, you know, we all have original sin, same disease, like Mother always says. So that's why, you know, we have to understand one another. And, you know, the more we get closer to God, we see more our like weaknesses, our faults, and our miseries. But then like God is saying that everything that comes out of my hand is good. There's nothing bad. Like when it's bad, like when we make wrong decisions or when we misuse our freedom, when our free will, but then we shouldn't really dwell in that miseries and in our past, but we should just constantly steadily go forward, like entrusting in his mercy and his goodness. Because one time I don't remember which saint it was, but God said to her, Why do you always give me only the good things? Why do you always try to give me the good things? Well, what about your miseries, your weakness, your faults, your mistakes? I also want them for myself. So when we embrace our cross, you know, and plunge really into the divine will, God will transform our weaknesses to the divine attributes. Because in him, everything is good. And we got to also treat others as we want to be treated, because we all know that, you know, we are the children of God. And we know that he will use everything, you know, for the good of all people in every situation. So do not get discouraged But remember that, we are, when we open ourselves, when we open our miseries and our muddy, rotten mistakes, our weaknesses to the Lord, He will use that in order to fecundate our earth of our soul, and He will help us to grow in virtues using those for our good.
Yes, God's mysterious permissible will, how He allows the natural order, but He also says to us that nothing will be allowed unless He can bring a greater good of it. And we can all take a really quick litmus test on that. Just think back in our lives now. Just take the worst or one of the worst situations or circumstances in our lives, whatever it may be, health or anything else, and then just ask us a honest question. If God's permissible will did not allow that event or that situation to occur, would we be here right now as we speak? And the unequivocal answer is we would not have. God had to redirect us. He had to allow the natural order to our mistakes, in essence, to help us find our path and find our way. That reminds me, sister, of when Jesus explains in volume 6, I believe it is, September 26, 1904. This is very powerful. Actually, no, I'm going to switch that up. I like this one better. This is volume 4, December 25th, Christmas Day, 1900. Jesus says, quote, "With the three nails with which they crucified me, I nailed the three powers of those souls who yearned to love me, the intellect, the memory, and the will, keeping them all drawn to myself because sin had rendered them infirm and dispersed from their creator." End quote. God's given us the antidote. He's given us the gift of living in the Bible. He says the greatest gift that He can give and has given to mankind. We're finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
Here, I'm free.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to welcome back everyone to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, with Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live for the first time from Maryville. I think he says Maryville, Tennessee. I will get used to that, hopefully, through the grace of God. And also, I know we're all used to listening to this tremendous Radio Maria Catholic programming. And as you can also are aware of, that there are no commercials. Nobody can influence Radio Maria's conduct. They cannot influence their programming. It's 100% listener supported. And that's the hard road. That's the difficult road. But that's the road that we all must take. So it takes our participation, our contributions, our cooperation, our joint effort, really. We're all shareholders in this beautiful gift of God's divine will and in the gift of Radio Maria. So if you can, of course, everyone can give spiritually. God gives us that ability, but he also gives certain individuals the ability to do it financially. And we can do it in some instances for those who cannot do it financially. So please be generous if you can. Call 888-408-0201. That's Radio Maria at 888-408-0201. Or you can go to radiomaria.us and there's a donate page. We're going to try to do our part because Jesus says charity is what fuels and anchors all other virtues. And we believe what Jesus says. So what we will do is anyone making a contribution to Radio Maria, either live now or if you're listening to this in the archives, we will send you two gifts. One will be a an I Am Catholic card. It's about the size of a credit card, which states that in case of an emergency, please call a priest. It has the act of contrition on the back. That'll be given to you. Also, a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of Luisa's clothing. I mean, it's astonishing. And we'll give this to you also free as a gift for your generous donation. We appreciate that. And please, again, Radio Maria, Catholic voice, a Catholic voice in all of our lives. And let's not forget that gratitude, as Mother was speaking about early on. Okay, Mother, sisters, gratitude, we talk about that. We have gratitude almost every moment. And I'm grateful to hear Sister Pamela. Put the microphones off, I think. Oh, let me see. Okay, I think there
can
we
you
go.
Hear me?
Oh. Yes, perfectly, perfectly.
I was saying that it's good to be back in Radio Maria after a long time not being able to be here with you guys. And yeah, how Mother said, it's been really like up and down, but at the end of the day, it's like all is for the glory of God. So we are really happy to be here and to keep growing in this tremendous and beautiful gift of the divine will. And it's how Sister Gloria was saying earlier about when I entered the community, I found out that you start seeing all of your miseries more and more, because when you are in the world, it's like you don't focus on that. So when you are in a community and you're constantly like, you are more on your own, like doing things, you live in the community, right? But you have more time for yourself. And then at the same time, God is allowing me to keep like discovering these new miseries and these new faults. But at the same time, it's beautiful because after I found them out, it's like, He tells me, like, don't worry about it and don't dwell on them, because I put that on your soul to keep, so that you can look more to me, and then I will give you more of my grace and my life, and then get transformed, which is our call. It's literally the title of the Book of Heaven, like the calling for the creatures to the beginning and the origin with which we were created. And I was reading from volume 16, August 28, 1923, and it's about, it is not enough to possess, but one must cultivate and keep what he possesses. My daughter, having placed in you the ownership of my will, I want you not only to possess it, but to know how to keep it well, to cultivate it, to expand it so as to multiply it. Therefore, pains, mortifications, vigilance, patience, and also my very privation serve to expand and to keep the boundaries of my will in your soul. It is not enough to possess, but one must know how to possess. What good is it for a man to possess a land if he doesn't know how to take care of sowing it, of cultivating it, of keeping it, to then reap the fruits of his toils? If he does not work his field, even though he possesses it, it can be said that he has nothing with which to satisfy his hunger. So it is not possessing that renders men rich and happy, but knowing how to cultivate well what he possesses. So it is with my graces, my gifts, and especially my will, which I have placed in you as queen. It wants from you the food, the crafting of your pains, of your acts. In everything, it wants that your will, fully submitted to it, will give it the honor and the courage which befit it as queen. And in everything you do and suffer, it will have ready the food to feed your soul. And so you on one side, my will on the other, will expand the boundaries of my supreme will within you. So I was thinking, at the end of the day, even though we think we are losing, we're never losing anything. Like, I think I will say that even we gain more than we think we do. It's like another volume, God also tells Luisa that he as God, he doesn't decrease because he can keep his God, he possesses everything. And when we are afraid of, I remember a long time ago, I used to have this picture of a little girl who's holding a teddy bear, like a small teddy bear. And then Jesus is in front of her and he's got the biggest teddy bear on the behind him. And the girl is afraid of giving the little teddy bear to him, but he's like, give it to me and I will give you something more. And that is us. Like, we are so attached to ourselves and we think that we possess everything when we don't really possess nothing. Like, nothing is ours, it's only God's. And we should have that confidence and that relationship with him and trusting him that if we like surrender everything, like even our miseries, even our own thinking, he's gonna transform us and he's gonna give to us his own life, his own divinity. Like, that's how our soul is created. We cannot fill it with anything else, only with him. That's why when we try to look like, I don't know, try to find comfort in some temporal things in the world, it's always empty. We end up more empty and empty. I remember before my conversion, I had, like everybody else, I guess, I was trying to fulfill myself with all these like worldly things, even with friendships. And at the end, I was always feeling empty until I figured out and I opened myself up to see that only God can fill my soul and only him can feed me. And not only in the sacrament, but continuously. And how he tells Luisa, like, when you give, I want the food of your acts. And yesterday when I was talking to Mother with this Colombian group, they were asking us, how does that work? Like, how can you become transformed? Like, how is it possible? And we were telling them that it's because the more you look, the more you look the Holy Trinity in your soul, the more you forget about yourself. And the more you have your gaze fixed on him, that's how you get transformed. So we are all called to do this and be assured that if you trust in him, how he tells Faustina, like, trust in me, everything is going to be okay. We need to just surrender to him. And the more you surrender, the more you're going to be happier and fulfilled.
Yeah, you made a great point there, Sister Pamela, about how, in the flattering world, it's difficult to find our faults. But when we're in a community or when God says the greatest two things he can give us is to know him better and to know ourselves better. Because if we know ourselves better, we can find out our weaknesses and we can realize where we have to work on. I mean, in the world, we can't rely on our golfing buddies to tell us we're golfing too much, or those we're watching TV with that we're watching too much TV, or those young men that go out drinking. Don't rely on your drinking buddies to say you're drinking too much, because it's just not going to happen. But God says, I'm going to identify your faults. I'm not in the flattering world. I'm outside of that. And I'm going to explain to you where you need work, because I'm going to give you the grace and the gifts in order to work at your weaknesses if you decide to do so. So beautiful. I love that awakening, and we should all be awakening. We don't all have to join monastic life for that awakening. We just have to trust God and ask God for the inclination to be better, to be like him.
Yes, like Sister Pamela said, you know, like we are, like men are, man is a human social animal. And then as long as we are living on this earth, we have to live in community in harmony with other people. And actually, you know, our idiosyncrasies, our personalities, it will clash and then we will rub against one another. But actually, that's the beauty of living in community, because, and it's also like gracious moment, because that's when Jesus, you know, God breaks our soul, and that's when he molds our souls and into more likeness of Jesus. So we shouldn't really focus on ourselves when, you know, when we are frustrated with our weakness or our miseries, but instead we should redirect our miseries into, and then just throw it into the light of the divine will.
Yes, agreed. Hello, Sister Magdalena.
Hello. Kumusta po kayo lahat?
Mabuti. Salamat po.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm just so glad you mentioned the word grace, because it really is what the Holy Spirit is asking me to share today, grace, because we have so far been talking about the beauty of our life, everything, even the ability to exercise our will, our human will is a grace. It's a gift from God. And you mentioned, Peter, about the intellect, the memory, and the will. God is giving that to us. Nothing comes from us. Nothing good comes from us. Everything good comes from God. And so, and everything comes from grace, even the ability to suffer, even the ability to know ourselves, the ability to live our life in the community, whatever community you belong, not just in a monastic community, but even at work, in your family, all these rubbing each other, you know, irritation sometimes, these are the opportunities for all of us to be smoothened by God through these mm-hmm. little sacrifices, irritations. This is how God improves us in our virtue, patience, understanding, forgiveness. And these are the things that can really raise us up to higher sanctity. These are the things, that opportunities that God give us to allow us to become saints. Not that we our goal is to become saints, that's part of it, but our goal should be to love God, to serve him, and to know him. The more we love him, the more we know him, the more we want to serve him. And so today also is the feast of the church, the Saint John Lateran, and I did my meditation today. If you all have time to go, if you don't have time to go to Mass today, go back to the readings. It's a beautiful reading, because Jesus talks about the temple, which is his body. You know, the it talks about the temple that he destroys, but then the Pharisees were confused about that, because it took them 46 years to build, and Jesus says that it takes him 3 days. You know, he talks about the temple, our body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I meditated on that. How is it connected to the divine will? What we learned so far about the divine will? Well, we know from reading the volumes that we are called to be the temple of God. And so not just he lives in our soul, but he also lives in our body. That is the purpose of his incarnation, so that not only that we are sanctified in our soul, but we are also sanctified in our body, so that when in the divine will, we're not only holy after, you know, like for example, we go to Mass, we receive communion, and we don't just say, well, I'm only holy the first 15 minutes I receive communion, after that, you know, God is gone. No, we are called to be holy in all aspects of our lives. That is why in divine will, God wants us to sanctify all of our acts, the way when we talk, when we walk, when we think, all of our acts, even when we rest, even when we sleep, he doesn't leave us. That's why, you know, a lot of people misunderstand this. They think it's a heresy when Luisa talks about that living in the divine will is higher than living in sacraments for a few moments. Like, for example, you know, holy reading the sacraments of Holy Eucharist. That's why, you know, in the readings today also from the church, we receive the sanctification, the redemption through our baptism. Before baptism, we are our body, our flesh was like the temple of the devil. But Jesus redeemed us when the Word God incarnated and became flesh. He took on our flesh so that our flesh can be divinized. Not that we are God, but it is through his incarnation, through our baptism, we're grafted into his sanctity. Now we become the body of the church. We become the church. Now, and I would like to talk a little bit about passage on the grace here, because that's exactly what he says. He says, my daughter, October 25, 1903. My daughter, the beauty of the soul in grace is so great as to enamor God himself. The angels and the saints are amazed at seeing this prodigious portent of a soul, still terrestrial, possessed by grace.
at the fragrance of her celestial odor. They run around her, and to their highest pleasure, they find in her that same Jesus who beatifies them in heaven in such a way that it is indifferent for them to be up in heaven or down near the soul. But who maintains and preserves this portent, giving new tints of beauty continuously to the soul who lives in my will, who removes any rust and imperfection from her and administers to her the knowledge of the objects that she possesses? My will. Who strengthens her, establishes her, and confirms her in grace? My will. The living in my will is the whole point of sanctity and gives continuous growth in grace. However, one who one day does my will and another her own will never be confirmed in grace. She does nothing but grow and then decrease. And how much evil this brings to the soul. Oh, how much joy she deprives God and herself. She is the image of the one who today is rich and tomorrow poor. She will not be confirmed either in richness or in poverty. Therefore, one cannot know where she will end up. So this is very important to really live in the grace, in the state of grace, to live in the divine will, and to just be resigned to God's will and offer to him everything in our suffering, in our joy, in our comfort. Nothing comes from us. Everything comes from God. Whether it is divine will or permissive will, it all comes from him.
Amen. Right, Sister Jacinta?
Yes, that's so true. Everything comes from Jesus. And as it was mentioned earlier on in this program, it's so important to have a spirit of gratitude because, as one of the divine will passages said, gratitude is the key to open more graces from God. And then that also reminds me of the parable of the lepers that Jesus cured. Only one came back to thank him, and Jesus was very happy that the one came back to thank him. And also in the divine will, we can thank God for all the gifts, blessings, and graces he gives us every day on behalf of those who have not and who will never thank him. So the passage I like to read today is from Volume 28, August 24th, 1930. And it really reminds me of just having gratitude. And Jesus tells us through Luis in this passage in how many different ways the divine will takes on all forms in order to give itself to man. Because God created everything for us, but because we sinned, then everything went against us. That's why God allows earthquakes and like tornadoes and hurricanes and like a lot of natural disasters for chastisements, because the soul is more important than the body. And even if those people die and they repent, then their souls will hopefully be saved. So Jesus tells us through Luisa, "My daughter, the love of my divine fiat towards men is so great that it takes all kinds of forms to give itself to them. It takes the form of the sky to remain extended over man's head, and by remaining perennially extended, it embraces him from all sides, it guides him, it protects him, and it defends him without ever withdrawing. The love of my divine fiat always remains in the sky to form its heaven in man's heart. It takes the form of stars, and lets their gentle twinkling sweetly descend upon man to caress him with its kiss of light. It sweetly insinuates itself so that it makes the stars of the most beautiful virtues in the sky of his soul. It takes the form of the sun to bathe him with light, and with its vibrant heat it can penetrate to the depths of his soul, and with the force of its light and heat, it fashions the hues of the most beautiful colors to fashion the sun of its fiat in him. It takes the form of the wind to purify him, and with its dominion, it keeps the divine life aflame by blowing upon it, and as it blows, my fiat makes the divine life grow in man's heart. My divine will lowers itself to everything." So this also reminds me of just seeing attributes of God throughout all creation. One day, we went with the monks to the Smoky Mountains on a hike, and we were all just admiring God's beautiful creation. And when we prayed the rosary there together, we were praying it in the divine will. We were placing our I love yous on like creation and just thanking God for it, and just seeing like attributes of God throughout all creation. And I remember reading another passage today where Jesus says, the reason that man isn't getting close to God, that he like detaches himself from God, unfortunately, is because man forgets that God is living within him. Like, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. We don't just find attributes of God in creation, but we also have to remember he's dwelling within our souls, and that really connects with the divine indwelling. Thus, living in the divine will, just remembering, is Jesus really doing everything good in us? It's not ourselves.
Yes, and sister, you mentioned about things being out of order. Now, if we really think about things, if we do a root cause analysis, Adam and Eve, their original sin was the first natural disaster. And when that occurred, it disordered all of God's creation. And what has he done? He's waited 6,000 years to bring it all back. The divine will is the glue that's going to bring everything back. All the brokenness is going to bring everything back, where the lion's going to lie with the sheep, where there's going to be no more sorrow, no more evil, no more tears. It's all coming back. This is hope. In a world full of despair, God has given us hope. Grace always outpaces and succeeds and overcomes evil. Mother, last closing thoughts. We've got about 2 minutes left.
Well, just to kind of expound on what you just said, you know, our Lord, in the scriptures, it says that God created everything in 6 days. Then he created Adam and Eve and rested on the seventh day. He created everything for Adam and Eve. He created everything for us, all that was gift. Then he rested in them. And he was able to rest in Adam and Eve until they fell. When they fell out of living in the divine will, he could no longer rest in them. God doesn't need to rest. God doesn't get tired. So now he's getting ready to rest in his people. So, you know, we've waited 6,000 years. Now the 7,000 year, this now, we're entering into that. He wants to rest in us. And he can only rest in us if we enter back in living in his divine will. So you know, that's what the resting in God is. We have this intermediate coming that's coming now, not the final coming. But he's going to rest in each one of us, because all the people left in the world after the world is crucified and transformed and purified will be living totally in his divine will.
Yeah. And that intermediate coming you speak of, that St. Bernard of Clairvaux and St. Cyril of Jerusalem speak about, among others, we're living in it now. So yeah. What another natural disaster would be for us to miss this opportunity to prepare ourselves for God's coming and for what he wants to do. Again, the fulfillment of the Our Father. I forget that. This is the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, as proclaimed by God. God is, Jesus is not, like he says in the volumes, he says, I'm not going to ask my Father for something he doesn't also desire and something that he's not going to comply with me for. Of course not. It's going to happen, and it's happening right now. It's amazing. Mother, we thank you. We thank you for your vocations. We thank you for your fiat. We thank you for sort of going with the flow. We move here, move there. It doesn't matter. As long as we have God, we have this divine will. Like Jesus tells Louisa, stop looking for me outside. All you have to do is look from within. And wherever we are, we bring the divine will. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. And hopefully we'll be back from Marysville, Tennessee. Who would have figured? Can't make this stuff up. Love everyone. Thank you, God.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.